This is the Irrationally Exuberant. I'm Reed Messerschmidt.
I used to say that Brian was like a shaved bear in looks and action, which was cruel, and that's how I meant it. I have a tendency to cruelty that I'm working on. But he was like a shaved bear, kind of. Being cruel doesn't necessarily make you wrong. He was big, tall and bulky, had a big head, big flat face, big nose, and he was pretty hairy. Even the hair on his head was more fur than hairstyle. And the sickly pink and white splotched pallor of his skin brought to mind the hide of a mangy beast. He was also bearish in his general gracelessness, and besides, everyone was kind of cruel to Brian. He seemed to invite it somehow. My psychiatrist mother-in-law told me once that a tragic, built-in feature of chronic victims is that they subconsciously invite and even demand victimization, so that anyone with any aggressive instincts whatsoever feels compelled to treat them poorly. Me, for instance, and Brian's wife, who I'll get to. This story is out of control sad, by the way. I thought it was funny for a long time, right up until I sat down to write this, but it turns out it's just very, very sad. Fair warning. I knew Brian through my job at Hornbacher's, a grocery store that employed me on and off for 8 years and forever, apparently, in my dreams. I have so many dreams where I'm back at Hornbacher's, confused, thinking, how did this happen? I thought I made it out. And it must be specified that this was the Northport Hornbacher's. I want to really get this place down because it will be revisited in these stories time and again. The Northport Hornbacher's is the weird, arithmetic heart of North Fargo, which is itself kind of a sloughed-off skin of Fargo's past, odd and aging, the small-town remnant of a bigger city expanding south. Folks know each other's business, know the local characters. Like Jim the Watkins Man, a seemingly ageless guy with cerebral palsy that rode around town on a three-wheeled bike with a Jim the Watkins Man sign on the basket, though his affiliation with the Watkins Corporation was hazy at best. Everyone knew to keep their kids away from Jimmy, as he tended to stare at the young ones and could get a little handsy. Nice fella, though, for the most part. There's a sewage processing plant just down the road from Hornbacher's, big domes capping the city's shit. So the town has a weirdly not unpleasant methane smell. Not unpleasant if you grew up there anyway. It just smells like shit probably if you didn't. Everyone calls it either the poop plant or shit tanks. Near that, there's a place called Ponyland, which sounds fun until you see the beat up barn and two sad, unattended ponies on maybe 2 desolate acres of grass very near the previously mentioned shit tanks. There's a mini-mart, now a loafin' jug, I guess, not an improvement, where weed and psychedelics are peddled in the parking lot, and a trailer park where you can get your meth and opiates. That's the bad trailer park. There's also a good trailer park, but I don't know anyone that bought drugs there. There was a McDonald's that failed, an unprecedented turn of events so far as I know, but a new one opened a couple of blocks away a few years later. When I was young, there were only a few apartment buildings, but that's changed. Most of the houses are modest mid-century ramblers, but there are rich parts of town where all the streets are named after trees and the minivans are shiny and new. It's a typical small town, but bigger than a small town, and there's kind of a Lynchian Stephen King darkness hanging over everything. No crime to speak of, not while I was a kid anyway, but a darkness nonetheless. Oldness and decay, maybe. Businesses come and go, have a hard time sticking around for the most part, as all the money goes south. But one thing remains, Hornbacher's. Everything and everyone meets in the middle at Hornbacher's, darkness included. People feel very comfortable there. It's more casual somehow than any other store I've ever been to. Also, there's the high rise across the street, an independent living and care facility for folks with disabilities. These people tend to use Hornbacher's as a sort of, they tend to use it for everything, really. Social club, support system, giver of sustenance. We had a lot of people that would call to get the weather or the time, and some that would just hang out all day. I worked at this Hornbacher's. There are others in other parts of town, beginning when I was 16. I was a bagger at first, the guy in an apron at the end of the checkout line that asks if you want paper or plastic. Beggars can't be choosers, as my friend's dad used to say. Brian was a bagger too, and what we called a lifer. There may have been something wrong with him mentally, but it was never clear to anyone. Anyone that I knew enough to talk about it with, what exactly that might be. Hornbacher's hired a lot of folks with disabilities, which is great, and he spent most of his time with the folks with obvious disabilities. He was a little off, though. His clothes didn't fit right, never said exactly the right thing, was a little slow to learn new tasks, stood too close, smelled a little, not great with reading body language. He tried to talk about, for instance, local sports, high school or college, and totally ignored the blank look on my face and very obvious attempts to extricate myself from a conversation I couldn't have cared less about. I was not the parent or grandparent of a local athlete, after all, which, in my estimation, is the only reason to care about these things. He was friendly, though, nice to everyone, and he did his job, which, in retrospect, makes him a better human being than about 98% of everybody. And Brian was married to a very unpleasant wheelchair-bound woman. She was loud and coarse, mean to Brian, mean to everyone. We cringed when he pushed her into the store because we knew we'd have to witness this poor man be berated and shamed and scoffed at by a woman he theoretically loved. But it was a regular occurrence. He pushed her everywhere, hers not being an electric chair. Brian would finish his shift and come back into the store a bit later, still in uniform, pushing his horrendous betrothed. But one day, after years of witnessing this, I saw her walk into Hornbacher's, smiling and talking loudly with a friend, I guess. Maybe just the stranger held hostage by Midwestern politeness. I assumed it was a woman who looked like her, had to be. I asked around and found out the strange and horrible truth. She had left Brian and immediately stopped using the wheelchair. At the time, the image was funny, and it still is a little, but in a Vincent Price Poe adaptation kind of macabre way. She calls Brian into the living room. He finds her sitting in her chair with a bag in her lap. He doesn't speak because he always lets her speak and then submits. She says, "Brian, you worthless sack of shit, I'm leaving you." And then she stands up from her wheelchair and walks past Brian and out the door, smiling horribly. Brian stands there for a very long time, maybe cries a little, and then sits down to watch TV or heats up something in the microwave, or maybe he wanders back to Hornbacher's to tell someone what has happened, like a scared kid lost in the mall. I don't know, this is all speculation. So I just want to drive this home. This woman married a man with, at best, severe learning disabilities, and then made him push her around in a wheelchair for the entirety of that marriage, either because he was basically her slave or she had led him to believe she was disabled. She'd still come to Hornbacher's and flaunt her new, horizontal, happy, Brian-free lifestyle in front of Brian until, eventually, we couldn't stand it anymore, and the management told her she was no longer welcome. I still see her around sometimes. Left to live alone, Brian became even more dependent on Hornbacher's. He was, it turned out, really afraid of thunderstorms and would sometimes call the store when there was a bad one. One of the managers told me that he went to Brian's house after one of these calls and Brian answered the door shirtless, crying, and gave him a hug. Did I mention that this story is out of control sad? Hang on, there's one more thing. A few years after I'd quit Hornbacher's to move on to some other terrible jobs, I found out that Brian had died. He'd been having seizures, I guess, for a long time. One day he didn't show up to work, unheard of for him. So an employee, Wade, who was friends with Brian and had a key to his apartment, was sent to make sure he was okay. He wasn't. Wade found Brian's body wedged between the television and the wall. Brian was kind of like a bear, and I remember him fondly. May he rest in peace.